Okay, I picked up a book. The book is titled Burgerstein's Handbook of Nutrition, subtitled Micronutrients in the Prevention and Therapy of Disease. The author is Michael Zimmerman, MD. In the opening chapter or the introduction, he provides a what I consider a very interesting overview of the role of nutritional supplements and nutritional therapeutics. And I just want to take some time to read this to you. I think it's a very interesting overview of just where we stand. Okay, so hopefully you'll find this of interest. All right, now I'm quoting from the book. A remarkable shift in nutritional research has occurred in the past 50 years. In the first half of the 20th century, nutritional science focused on the discovery of vitamins and description of classic vitamin and mineral deficiency diseases, such as scurvy, vitamin C deficiency, and rickets, vitamin D deficiency. Widespread efforts were then made to fortify the food supply to prevent vitamin and mineral deficiencies. Grains were enriched with B vitamins and iron, salt was iodized, water was fluoridated, and milk and margarine were fortified with vitamins A and D. These measures have essentially eliminated many previously common disorders, including pellagra, beriberi, and rickets. However, vitamin and mineral deficiencies remain widespread. For example, there is a high prevalence of inadequate intakes of iron and folic acid among women, and deficiencies of vitamin D, vitamin B12, and calcium are common among older adults. Preventive nutrition must continue to emphasize the importance of a healthy and varied diet. Today, nutrition is moving into exciting new areas of prevention and medical therapy, particularly with regard to micronutrients. The term micronutrients refers to the vitamins, minerals, trace elements, amino acids, and essential fatty acids found in our diets, normally in only very small amounts, milligrams or microgram levels. Modern medicine is discovering that with optimum micronutrition, illnesses can be treated and, in many cases, prevented without relying on more costly and potentially more dangerous drugs and surgery. This new paradigm began with the work of pioneering biochemists in the 1960s, led by Dr. Linus Pauling, twice winner of the Nobel Prize. Pauling realized that many micronutrients have significant and far-reaching health effects beyond simple prevention of the classic deficiency diseases. He realized that many chronic illnesses occur when micronutrient deficiencies or imbalances cripple the body's biochemistry and metabolism. Although initially Pauling's ideas met with skepticism within the scientific community, time and the progress of scientific research have shown the value of his basic principles. Correcting deficiencies and imbalances by providing the missing nutrients, often at levels greater than those normally found in the diet, has proved to be a powerful new therapeutic approach. Pauling termed this medicine orthomolecular medicine, which he defined as, quote, "the preservation of good health and the treatment of disease by varying the concentrations in the human body of substances that are normally present in the body and are required for health," unquote. Approximately 45 essential micronutrients are necessary for life and must be supplied by the diet because they cannot be synthesized in the human body. Why are these substances so critical for health? Micronutrients are basic components of every cell in the body. They serve as chemical messengers, building blocks, and enzymes. For tissues to function efficiently, all of them need to be present in the right amount, in the right place, and at the right time. Micronutrients are constantly being metabolized, broken down, and excreted, and need to be quickly replaced. Because most are not stored in the body in large amounts, regular daily intake is important to maintain tissue levels. An erratic supply weakens cells and forces them to limp along, thus increasing vulnerability to disease. How can micronutrients help prevent and treat disease? Well, the first way is the elimination of a chronic deficiency. If the diet is low in an essential nutrient, body reserves become depleted. If the deficiency is severe, clear symptoms develop quickly over a period of weeks. For example, if vitamin C intake falls sharply, scurvy develops after several weeks. Gums begin to bleed, the skin becomes hyperkeratotic, rough and dry, and capillary hemorrhages appear in the skin. In contrast, marginal nutrient deficiencies only gradually impair cell metabolism, and the ill effects may be subtle, becoming evident only after years or decades. Long-term, marginal intakes of vitamin C or selenium during adulthood, although not producing clear symptoms from day to day, may increase the risk of certain forms of cancer. This point was dramatically made in a recent multicenter trial by the Nutritional Prevention of Cancer Study Group, in which boosting selenium intake by supplementation in 1,300 middle-aged men reduced their risk of cancer by 50%. The level of micronutrition intake for adequate day-to-day survival is often not sufficient for lifelong optimum health. Specific and localized tissue deficiencies of vitamins may occur despite adequate levels in the blood and in many other tissues. For example, localized deficiencies of folate, vitamin E, and vitamin A in the bronchopulmonary tree of smokers may increase the risk of cancer. Similarly, folate deficiency in the uterine cervix of women taking oral contraceptives and in the colon in ulcerative colitis may increase the risk of dysplasia in those tissues. The second way a micronutrient can treat illnesses or help prevent disease is by enhancing healthy pathways of cell metabolism. Supplementing dietary calcium intake during adolescence and adulthood reduces turnover of bone and promotes mineral deposition into the skeleton. This can help maintain bone mineral density and greatly reduce the risk of osteoporosis and bone fractures in later life. Many trace elements are essential cofactors in enzyme systems, and boosting intake stimulates activity of the enzymes. Selenium is an essential component of glutathione peroxidase, an important antioxidant enzyme. Increasing selenium intake increases enzyme activity and reduces vulnerability to oxidative stress. Certain micronutrients at levels of intake far greater than those in usual diets develop beneficial new actions that are not apparent at lower doses. A good example is niacin. In low doses, niacin, as a component of nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, abbreviated as NAD+, plays an important role in energy production in cells. At doses 10 to 100 times higher, niacin begins to influence lipid metabolism in the liver, lowering low-density lipoprotein, LDL, cholesterol, and triglycerides in the blood and increasing high-density lipoprotein, HDL, cholesterol. High-dose niacin is recommended as a first-line therapy for certain forms of hyperlipidemia. While normal dietary intake of folic acid supports growth of red blood cells and helps prevent anemia, higher doses, 2 to 4 times normal dietary levels, during early pregnancy provide powerful protection against birth defects. For women planning a pregnancy, taking a multivitamin containing adequate folic acid can reduce the risk of having a baby with a birth defect by 25 to 50%. The reduction in risk is particularly strong for neural tube defects, defects of the spine, and cleft lip and palate. High-dose supplements of vitamin B6 and zinc can enhance T-cell activity and may increase resistance to infection. Vitamin E is another micronutrient that develops new beneficial actions at higher doses. Clear signs of deficiency are prevented at doses of approximately 8 to 10 milligrams a day in healthy adults. Increasing intake to 150 to 200 milligrams a day reduces the risk of coronary heart disease by 40% in adult men and women. An intake of 200 to 400 milligrams a day can help protect the lungs from the oxidative stress of air pollution. Boosting intake to even higher levels, around 800 milligrams, may enhance the immune response and increase the body's ability to fight infection. Now, under the heading Variability in Micronutrient Requirements Among Individuals, he talks about the work of Roger Williams. I'm quoting again from the book. Professor R.J. Williams, a chemist who played a key role in the discoveries of pantothenic acid and folic acid, emphasized the broad variability in micronutrient needs within the population. He developed the concept of biochemical individuality, a fundamental principle of micronutrient prevention and therapy, describing it as follows. Quote, each individual has a distinctive nutrient environment of his or her own, because while the list of nutrients needed by all of us may be the same, the respective amounts needed are necessarily not the same for all individuals. Simply put, each person has unique nutritional requirements. Depending on one's individual genetic makeup, striking variability can exist in the body's biochemistry. A nutrient intake sufficient for one person may be inadequate for another. For example, 2 milligrams a day of vitamin B6 is adequate for good health in most people. Yet some individuals with inherited defects in vitamin B6 metabolism need up to 30 to 100 times this amount. The absorption and daily requirements for calcium can vary 4 to 5-fold among healthy middle-aged women. Normal plasma concentrations for vitamin D, the activated form of the vitamin, vary between 15 and 45 picograms per milliliter in healthy adults. In the 10% of the population who are heterozygous for the hemochromatosis gene, dietary iron intakes that normally maintain health may be toxic in the long term. Biochemical individuality also helps explain why different people react differently to dietary factors. For example, a high intake of salt will increase blood pressure in the one-third of the adult population who are salt sensitive, while others simply excrete the excess without ill effects. A high amount of dietary cholesterol may produce hypercholesterolemia in some people, but not all. Moreover, besides these genetic differences, nutritional requirements can be profoundly influenced by many factors, including age, environment, and lifestyle choices. A smoker's requirement for vitamin C is 2 to 3 times that of a non-smoker. Pregnancy doubles a woman's need for iron. Strenuous athletic training sharply increases requirements for the vitamin B complex and magnesium. Therefore, across the population, there is a broad range of optimum intakes for the essential nutrients. Factors which cause nutritional needs to vary from person to person, considered in detail in the latter sections of the book. How about safety? He goes on to point out, vitamins, minerals, and trace elements, like all substances, can be toxic if taken in sufficiently high amounts. Toxicity has been reported for vitamins A, D, K, B6, niacin, and many of the minerals and trace elements. However, Micronutrients generally provide safer therapy than traditional drugs. Many of the vitamins have large therapeutic indices that are free from adverse side effects, even at doses of 10 to 20 times the normal dietary intake. In contrast, the therapeutic index is narrow for many drugs, and adverse side effects are common. Despite thorough testing, many drugs are found to have side effects that become apparent only after years of use. An example is the discovery that short-acting calcium channel blockers used widely to treat high blood pressure may actually increase the risk of sudden cardiac death. Hospitals regularly admit people with aspirin-induced gastrointestinal bleeding, digitalis toxicity, or diuretic-induced mineral depletion. In the U.S., caring for patients suffering from adverse drug side effects accounts for approximately 20% of all hospital costs. The annual cost of such care is estimated to be in excess of $2 billion U.S. In many instances, drugs are life-saving, and no one would want to be without them. However, for many of the common chronic diseases, including cardiovascular disease and arthritis, drugs provide only symptomatic relief. New research is showing that micronutrients can be beneficial in these difficult-to-treat diseases. No longer alternative therapy, micronutrients are taking their rightful place in mainstream medicine and becoming cornerstones of both prevention and treatment.